You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app. All right, welcome in. We are live. It is Minor Talk presented by Jack in the Box. I'm Adrian Broaddus. Sal Montes is with me as he is every UTEP men's basketball game here for Minor Talk. Alberto Retta in the building as well. He's always here as well. We got Chris from Inspo Lens, Chris Collins. He is joining us right now. We are live on Inspo Lens, Twitter, X, YouTube as well. Big shout out to Inspo Lens for being live with us here on Minor Talk as we get things started. What a game, man. I mean, a real entertaining game if you're a college basketball fan. And the Miners eke out a win against Kennesaw State, 73-71. Let's talk about it here on the program. 915-505-6009. In front of 5,351 fans. At the beginning, it looked light as far as the crowd. Late arrival crowd, no problem. The crowd was good. I thought they were loud. They got into the game. They definitely help lift the Miners up, you know, in closing moments of this one. I know some fans are still saying, well, you know, I'm still not bought in. They still have the bad taste in their mouth after the New Mexico State loss, still have a bad taste in their mouth after a Jacksonville State home loss on Thursday. I don't react like that. I'm not quick to react to either game. I kind of have stuck with this team. They are who they are. As far as, you know, being a necessary, you know, powerhouse, no, they're not going to be any of that kind of stuff. Are they going to be a team that, you know, fights every night and plays good defense? That's what you'd expect, you know, besides from the fluke games like the New Mexico State loss, the Utah Valley loss, even the San Jose first half was disappointing. But, you know, the way that they closed that one out, a better, you know, outing when it was all said and done. But tonight it was a close game back and forth. No Corey Camper Jr. We'll talk more about his injury later on in the program, but he was out from this game. Remember, he hurt his left ankle against Jacksonville State, and you felt it. I mean, Miners flipped through so many rotations tonight. It was Baylor Hebb getting minutes off the bench. It was Trey Horton getting a few off the bench. You also saw KJ Thomas off the bench. But man, the spark that we saw from Elijah Jones, the big man. His presence was felt, man. Down the stretch, they absolutely needed it. He was one of the more valuable pieces to this team late down the stretch of this game. From a positivity standpoint, from a mental standpoint, from a toughness standpoint, because he was actually like chirping and fighting with the other team. And he let his, you know, he let his emotions out, but he actually played really well. I mean, 12 points in this one, plus 15 in the game, 16 minutes off the bench, 2 blocks in this one as well. Career highs for minutes played and points played for points scored, I should say, for Elijah Jones. Kevin Kalu with 14. That's his career best. 6 of 7 from the field when it was all said and done. And then Otis Frazier III, just like John Teicher, just like Steve Yellen said, don't take him for granted. I think we've been saying that line since the days of Bryson Williams. Don't take Bryson Williams for granted. Don't take Sule Boom for granted. And now it's don't take Otis Frazier III, Sal Montes, for granted. 8 steals tonight ties his single-game best, and also Tim Hardaway's single-game best, which are all program records right there.
Yeah, and fans being spoiled by these defenses. You know what I mean? Not too long ago, look at what Sule Boom was doing against Middle Tennessee in the Conference USA tournament. So these steals are something that are coming in bunches for these guys. So it's one of those stats where obviously you love it if you're a fan, especially a fan of defense, but we see guys chase numbers every night. Can they have the most points in program history? Whatever the case is, and I'm speaking in general across college hoops, but when we're talking about steals record, this is like blocks record, assists record. These are those team type of points that you want to show out for. So big night, and don't take them for granted.
You know, if you would have told me tonight, Bynum goes 3 for 10 from the field. Terrell also goes 2 for 9. Knowing that you don't have Camper, I might say UTEP loses this game, just knowing those two stats alone. And, you know, that's also a product of why you don't box score watch, because if you really watch this game, yeah. Terrell plays 37 minutes. He has 7 rebounds. He logs 6 assists, and he plays great defense all night long against one of the top, freshmen that you're going to see all across not only Conference USA, but the country, in Adrian Woolley. 7 points, 3 for 10. He couldn't do anything. 36 minutes as well. David Terrell Jr. had him locked down tonight. And Ahmad Bynum, 8 points, 3 of 10 from the field, but 2 for 7 from beyond the arc. He started tonight and played 29 minutes. Just couldn't get his offense going the way that you typically see from Ahmad Bynum, kind of the hot hand of this team, you know, moving forward. But they had the post presence tonight, Sal. 36 points in the paint for UTEP. And in this one, off the rebound margin, they got killed. Minus 13, 43-30 in total rebounds right there. Second chance points, that's where Kennesaw State was feasting. That's where they had a lot of their numbers, 18 points. But the big number that UTEP will hang their hat on defensively is 21 forced turnovers.
Yeah, and that number is not too alarming considering two things, right? How often has UTEP been out-rebounded, right? Or let's say three things. How often have they been out-rebounded, which transitions to number two? UTEP's the worst rebounding team in Conference USA. And point number three, they played against the number one rebounding team in Conference USA. So that number, just in my opinion, going into this game, it's by default. It's automatically going to happen. But can you play to your strengths, and can you do better on your strengths than you do worse in your weaknesses, if that makes sense? And they were able to make up for it with great defense and finishing. Also, too, I know rebounding, we were talking about it, but getting rebounds that matter, and they definitely were able to buy some time with that rebound by Jones in the final stages.
Yeah, it wasn't just the rebound. He also made some clutch free throws down the stretch, and just played good defense, gave good energy for this team down the stretch. So loved Elijah Jones in this game. We'll get to awards later on. Big shout out to Wind Supply El Paso. They provide our Hot Hand Award here on the program. Shout out to the District West, 3233 North Mesa. We were there before the game. Great crowd out there tonight. We gave away some Rhinos tickets. We'll be back in action soon for the next home game out at the District West, 3233 North Mesa. We'll welcome on Alberto Retta, our third member of the broadcast here with us as we continue. UTEP defeated Kennesaw State 73-71. We'll get to Tom and George on the phone lines in just a bit. If you've been waiting to get into the phone lines, 915-505-6009. Alberto, I know you were noting the chippiness that was going on between Elijah Jones and just the Kennesaw State team, period. I mean, he was fiery down the stretch of that game.
He was especially going after number 25, Ronchi Gordon. But, I mean, anybody that got into his ear, he would give him a piece of his mind. So I really liked what I saw from that entire team from the Miners. They just weren't backing down, despite the fact that the game gets kind of tough for them. They continue to battle. They continue to fight. And they continue to talk. And I really like that. I really like the way they don't back down from that. And they played a great game today, and that's what I'll take away. And they did that without Corey Camper, which was one of the bigger worries coming into this game. So I like what we saw. All the takeaways are heading in the right direction right now.
Well, it heads in the direction where UTEP's got a tough road swing ahead. I mean, they don't win tonight, Sal, and it's, they're 3 games on the road. And, you know, in this next 3-game stretch, we'll get to that later on here in the program, I'm sure. A lot to dissect, but Western Kentucky, Middle Tennessee, and New Mexico State, all 3 games on deck on the road for the Miners.
Yeah, you definitely want to play your best basketball, right, going into, I don't want to say meaningful games, but more meaningful games. I mean, the pressure's only going to get bigger from here on out, and these are nobody to scoff at either. It's going to be a tough stretch, and like you said, we'll get into it in a bit, but I mean, we talked about it last game where there's going to be a lot of games in Conference USA where it's going to be just like it was against Jacksonville State and just like it was tonight. And what is that? It's going to be, is it within 1 to 2 possessions in the final couple of minutes, and can you win those minutes? We just talked about the last game against Jacksonville State. They did the same thing to UTEP, to the Aggies, that they did to UTEP, and that's when the final couple of minutes. That game was back and forth. It was a good game, but that's what you got to do to stay atop Conference USA and, you know, be some of the top dogs. That's win these final couple of minutes.
Well, I'll also say this. For the Miners winning this game, does it, you know, against Jacksonville State, I felt like the Miners just came out flat. I just didn't like their energy in that game, and I thought Jacksonville State was able to dictate the pace, the tempo, everything. Jacksonville State, by the way, they destroyed New Mexico State tonight. I shouldn't say destroyed, but they beat New Mexico State tonight, 65-59. That's an upset right there for the Aggies. They dropped two games at home, but the Gamecocks have won four or five of their last six. They're playing good basketball right now, so this is a tough team in Jacksonville State. Still, if you're UTEP, you can't. There's no excuse. You got to win these home games tonight. My hat's off to them. They did it without Corey Camper Jr., and now it's on to a tough three-game road stretch for this UTEP men's basketball squad. Let's go to the phones now, 915-505-6009. Tom is first up with us, and then we'll get to, of course, George on the program and Milkman. A lot of comments to get into the program as well. Big shout-out to Renee Thierez, who's listening to us from Wind Supply El Paso, and saying that he votes Elijah Jones as hot hand of the game. I might have a good say here for this one right here, Renee. I appreciate you. Check him out online, windsupplyelpaso.com. Before we get to Tom, Sal, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to Miner Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box, here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Tom's next with us. Tom, good evening. What's going on?
Yeah, heck of a game. I hope the players are listening to this. You guys stepped up big time. The players and the coach, everybody, just they manned up, and they're playing excellent basketball when they need to. That was a battle tonight against a very, very physically talented team. And, you know, without Camper, everybody did their part. You know, how many times did the score change hands? About like 6 to 8 times, something like
that's
that?
That's a great question, Tom. Let me give you that exact number because I love seeing this one right here. Game was tied 6 times. There was only 3 lead changes. Get this. Kennesaw State led for 16 minutes. UTEP led for 17. It was a game of runs.
Yeah. And the thing is, how many times we were used to watching, and a lot of the fans in El Paso are so used to seeing UTEP fold, whether it's even football or basketball, after we have a good half or the other team gets on a run and we just never seem to recover. This team's got a lot of heart. They got a lot of heart. They should be very proud of themselves, and they should carry this on the road because they've got the talent to take down a lot of teams. You know, our turnover ratio and the number of steals that these guys get is amazing. It's making up for the lack of rebounding. But I have a feeling the rebounding is going to get better as we go along here because the big players, our big men are starting, it seems to me they're starting to wake up a little bit more. And all our guys are getting on the ball, you know. So it's that's pretty much it. I mean, these guys deserve, you know, some kudos. Last time I called in was after NMSU. And you know what? You know, I thought they were just literally had stage fright against NMSU because it was a packed stadium. And I can't wait until we go up to Las Cruces because I'm going to be there. And we all need to bring somebody or two or three family members. And we need to get 5,000 people in that Pan Am Center. That's all I got to say. Thanks, guys.
Great stuff. Appreciate it, Tom. Let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. Two calls to get to. We'll get to George coming up next. Then we'll keep the calls moving. 915-505-6009. One phone line is now going to be available here. If you've been waiting to get into the program, now's the time to do it. George, good evening, man. Good to hear from you. What did you think of this game?
Hey, man. Sorry I couldn't make it tonight, but great to hear you guys. Do your thing. I thought a couple of things were going to happen, that we were going to get blown out or it was going to be a game like this where it was going to be close back and forth and whatnot. I was there, and so I was actually really excited about how loud the crowd got, although it's kind of back to, like, I don't know what the attendance was today.
5,351, so pretty good crowd.
Yeah, so back to those numbers, right? But it was really loud, and I mean, I thought the officiating, how bad it was, kind of unlocked the rage of the crowd. And it got really, really loud tonight, and so that was fun. A couple things I noticed were, like Tom said, the big man. I think there was a stretch where, like, Kalu was rebound watching, and he was kind of getting worked down there. He just, like, turned it up after that. It was in the second half, around 10 minutes, where he started to play a lot harder. And then Elijah Jones is just pure adrenaline injection into this team. Alberto mentioned the chirping. He never backed down from anybody. And I think that this minor team just needs his attitude and his energy. And they really feed off it when a guy like Corey Camper isn't off. And that was my second point, finding a way to win without a leader, one of your leaders in Corey Camper. He does so much for this offense. He takes and makes a lot of tough shots. And I felt like that onus was spread out around the minor guards that were available today. They stepped up when they needed to. And Devin Barnes got going. That was my last point. Devin Barnes is, I believe, 5 for his last 17 between the last two games. He's struggling. But he finished this game making his last 3 field goals, and they were all in the paint. So I thought he played really, really well and kind of figured a way to get himself going. He finished today 4 for 9. So, I mean, you'll take that versus his Jack State line where he was 1 for 8. So I think a great win, find a way to win against a great team. I think Kennesaw State's really, really good. They're big. They're obviously the best rebounding team in the conference. And they found a way to win. And like Sal said, play to their strengths and hope your strengths are better than their weaknesses. I totally get what Sal's saying. So I'm impressed. And so, yeah, pretty pleased with the game today.
Good stuff, George. Hey, I appreciate you calling in despite you not being able to drop by. No problem at all, but you're the man for calling us in as always, man. We miss you here, but great job here with us on the phone lines. I want to say this, two points to George's call. And by the way, our phone number, 915-505-6009. 2 points to George's phone call. The crowd did get loud. It was because of the terrible officiating, but that's CUSA refs, and we've hashed this out over the 5 years we've done minor talk. This isn't just this year's conversation right here. But I like the fact that they also got into it when Elijah Jones was kind of playing spirited, and he was getting into it. When David Terrell was getting emotional, and he was getting into it. And same with Otis Frazier III. Like, he had some emphatic plays down low, and the crowd was really getting into it and feeding off of that. So, Sal, the second point I'm going to say is something that you texted into the program, and something to George's point, this Kennesaw State team is pretty good. How surprised would you be if they had played in the CUSA championship game?
I'll say this, just based off of the last decade or so and also superstition, I'd be more surprised if UTEP is in there than Kennesaw. Kennesaw looks really good. I know they lost today, but they've been they've been on a roll in conference play. And also, too, when it comes to just the sheer amount of talent that they have, led by a freshman, and they also got a win over a then-ranked Rutgers team earlier this year. I think it was the first week or two. So this is an extremely athletic team, a team that's new to Conference USA, a team that, although they lost and looked solid, they're going to be a lot better come March. That's a guarantee. Now, for UTEP, I do think they are the better team, but just superstition tells me don't believe it.
I hear what you're saying. I'd still take
reverse
UTEP.
Psychology,
I'd still take UTEP. I'd still be really surprised if Kennesaw State actually made the CUSA championship game at this point. It's a testament to where they're at, though. It's a good surprise, right? Like, they've done this. They've actually overachieved, because when the season started, or before the season started, they were picked dead last in the CUSA preseason polls. So this Kennesaw State team is much better than last. And speaking of last, Sam Houston State is currently last in CUSA right now. They are 1-7 in CUSA. They're not necessarily a bad team, so it just tells you where CUSA is at right now. 915-505-6009. Next up with us is our pal, Milkman. Milkman, good evening. What's happening, man?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. How's it going?
It's going well, Milkman. What'd you think of tonight?
Well, I got to tell you, so my dad wasn't filling up to going out there tonight, so we watched it on TV. We're planning on being out there next time, but I was very impressed with the heart that the miners showed tonight. I mean, they were able to dig down and get that win, and it definitely showed that some people were talking earlier. The other callers were talking about how some of the players were firing them up, and you could see it. You could see see it on the court. But I, one of the things I want to talk about is Conference USA. Like, I'm very excited to go to the Mountain West, but I gotta say, if you were to ask me before this started, which two teams would have probably been the easiest, trip, I would have said, Jacksonville State and Kennesaw State. But I got to tell you, after watching all the teams in Conference USA, I'm very impressed with this league. Like, this is, they said something on the post game show, which I think I really
don't say
think
it, Milkman. Don't say it, Milkman.
Oh boy,
don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it.
Listen to me. What? Where is it written in stone that we are a one bid league?
There is it. There is a stone somewhere.
There isn't, but I saw it.
Selection Sunday will prefer a power forward team with money, a team in the SEC who has no business being in the NCAA tournament. They will prefer them over a CUSA team who is maybe 20 wins and has 7 losses, whatever that is. They will prefer a mediocre Big 12 team. They'll prefer a mediocre Big 10 team over a deserving, second or third place CUSA team, or maybe even a regular season champ who can't make it because of the CUSA tournament.
Yes, I agree with all of that. And yes, why take a second Conference USA team when you can take, 10 ACC teams or whatever it is. But all I can say is we do have to stop thinking like that, because there's nothing that says that it has to be a one bid league. And we all remember, those years in the WAC when we had BYU and Utah and we were like, God, we're only getting two to three teams, and that was the stuff I'm seeing from Conference USA this year. I mean, it's hearkening back to that where, outside of FIU, maybe, any team could go out there and win any night. I'm just saying that, yes, you are correct. It's probably not going to happen, but we got to stop saying it. You know what I mean? We got to stop saying that we expect to only get one team in.
I don't know, man. I feel like I have to be the realist in this situation. I hear what you're saying, Milkman, and I feel like the narrative needs to switch. Instead of just saying, it's just not necessarily a one bid league, we could say, hey, Conference USA right now is the best it's been in maybe like a decade. Maybe, since 2011, 2012, that's the last time I can remember the conference as good as it is right now. Maybe like 2014, it was pretty good that year as well. I was doing some of the research on that. But as far as a two-bid league, it wasn't back then. It wasn't back then when Memphis was hanging banners and they had guys like Derrick Rose on their team. It wasn't back then when UTEP had guys like Randy Culpepper and, excellent players left and right, Vince Hunter, that era. It wasn't a two-bid league. Why would it be now when the conference is objectively worse, just top to bottom? Now, you could say it's competitive. You could say it's deep. And that's where probably the narrative needs to shift. But I look over at the Mountain West. It's a multi-bid league still, even with those teams switching over conferences. You have New Mexico, you have UNLV, you have Nevada. Those three teams are in the top 100. Not to mention, you're bringing in Grand Canyon. They're also in the top 100. Those are the quality teams that I look at and I think, okay, this year of Conference USA, what it's really doing is preparing UTEP for the transition to the Mountain West, when the competition will be just as tough, just like this, and maybe even more so. And the Miners right now, they're doing a great job of competing in this Conference USA, which is tough. I will give it that. It is a tough league, and it is something where next week, I don't expect UTEP to go out and sweep the road series against Middle Tennessee and Western Kentucky. That's almost impossible right there in what you're asking them to do. But I do expect UTEP to be competitive when the season's over, regardless of how competitive Conference USA is, and still contend for a Conference USA tournament championship. Regular season championship means nothing, although it does give you good seeding, and it does help you when it comes to your matchup or your opponent in the CUSA tournament. Sal, I just have a hard time agreeing with that. That, you know, we can't say that it's not a one bid league. It really is. Mm-hmm. Even when it was, you know, even when there were strong seasons at a Conference USA, even when Florida Atlantic was ranked in Conference USA, you always have that fear in the back of your head because of how underrepresented Conference USA, and some would argue misrepresented, right? Like they'd say, hey, it's unfair that Conference USA is treated this way. It just is what it is. It's more politics than anything else. And, you know, it's not a Conference USA thing. It just is a mid-major thing.
Yeah, and they're going to pick a school with a bigger alumnus, bigger fan base, so to speak, and don't be surprised if that school just happens to be in the region that a deserving team gets snubbed out of. And I'm glad you brought up FAU because I want to take it back to 2022/23, the year that they made it to the Final Four when it was their last year in CUSA, but they finish the season 35-4, second best team in the conference by standings. That would be North Texas, who finished 31-7. They should have made the tournament. Now, granted, at the time they were probably like 26 or 27-7, so there's some extra games there. But this is a team who was pretty much neck and neck with a lot of these other teams, not other teams, but Florida Atlantic at that point. So that was the best the league had been in a while. And the second best team still did not get in. North Texas, an absolute dog. And we know what McCaslin is doing now over at Texas Tech. But these snubs are going to happen. And if you're Conference USA, you got to get hot in the tournament and win it there if you want to make it to the big dance. Now, if we're wrong, so be it. We want that. But just history shows us not only is it not kind to Conference USA, it's not kind to a lot of mid-majors out there.
Really good point, Sal. The total number of teams outside, or I should say, in the top 100 in the Mountain West right now is 5. Conference USA has 2 in the top 100. Liberty checking it at 84 by the net this past week, and Middle Tennessee 95 per the net ratings, and that was just this past week. Alberto, I'll let you weigh in on this right here. Are we way off? Should we soften up our take against Milkman right here and what he was trying to argue?
No, I definitely agree with you guys. It's just historically, this is a one-bid league. And if you really want to argue it, the quality of this league has been going down with the additions of teams like Kennesaw State and the exodus of teams that go to the AAC. So I think that it's really difficult to say, well, this league has taken strides in the right direction. Well, it's lost good teams, and it's brought in teams like Kennesaw, and the next year it'll be Delaware State. Is Kennesaw State a phenomenal basketball team? Yeah. But does the addition of them into Conference USA hurt UTEP in the attempt to get a two-bid league? I personally think so. But we'll see what happens in March.
I'll say this. You mentioned the American Athletic. Now, this would be the hottest take I could say about Conference USA. I don't know what you would think about this, Sal. This is the hottest take I'd say. I would say that CUSA is deeper right now than the AAC in basketball, men's basketball. And I would say that AAC is very top heavy with schools like Memphis and North Texas. Of course, Memphis. Every year you're going to take their team and you're going to say they're going to be one of the best year in, year out. North Texas is also a really good team this year in particular. But other than that, they don't really have, outside of maybe a little UAB, is kind of a dark horse contender. Right now, Tulane is 5-2 in the American Athletic. They're winning some games, but I don't really take other teams that seriously. I'd say Conference USA is deeper top to bottom. Now, is Liberty, who is currently the highest ranked team in Conference USA, necessarily better than maybe like a Memphis or North Texas? That's where I have a tough time arguing that.
It's tough to say just because these teams have been playing tougher schools pretty much all year. So it's hard to gauge it. I think we'll have a better idea middle of February. But as it stands now, January 25th, you're not wrong. There's a lot more parity when it comes to this conference here. I mean, there's a what? Let me go back to it. I know there's like a three-way tie for first. Three-way tie for second, so to speak, and I don't want to do the whole thing, but going over to the American, there's a first-place tie for three teams that have 5-1 records in Conference USA, and I just want to point this out. You guys are talking about how the prestige or the power of Conference USA drops. whenever teams lose, and you're right. Look at number two, North Texas, out in the American. Look at number three, UAB, out in the American. And last place, a former conference USA team as well in Charlotte. But nonetheless, these guys, these other teams who have the jumped ship and got promoted, I guess, conference-wise, they're doing some solid things over there for the most part.
I'll say this. There should be three teams in Conference USA minimum. I'm talking about UTEP, Middle Tennessee has a good chance, and Liberty as well, who win 20 or more games. Does that mean there's going to be two teams who go to the NCAA tournament? No.
No way.
No. But does it mean that maybe these other teams who are like around 18, 19, 20, can those teams who are hovering around that win total make some of these other like NIT, which by the way, last year the NIT almost snubbed every mid-major out there that wasn't a conference title runner-up or anything like that. They snubbed a lot of teams. CBI, I mean, some would argue it's irrelevant. Others would say, well, at least you're playing some kind of postseason basketball. But that's another league that has showed some favoritism when it comes to mid-major schools at a conference, you say. And then there's some other, you know, CIT and stuff like that. But I'll ask you, Sal, does any of that appeal to you? Are you NCAA tournament or bust when it comes to this group?
For this group, it's tournament or bust, just based off of what you accomplished last year. You're 10 minutes and 33 seconds away from you know, from punching your ticket or having the best chance to punch your ticket, and they didn't come through there. That's the, not only is it the expectation that I have, which is you know, counterproductive to what I said earlier, superstitious, but these are the expectations that the team has. They, you know what I mean? That's what that logo, that's what that motto represents, that 10-33. That's really all that needs to be said.
Yeah, the last thing, because we went on a long tangent here, and I apologize to Brian, who's been waiting with us. The last thing I'm going to say to this is the, you know, NCAA tournament appearance or bust. The bust doesn't tell you like, oh, this was a failure of a season. I still think that they're finding a lot of successful points of this year. There have been setbacks. It feels like when they've taken a couple steps forward, they take steps back. And, you know, I think they've acknowledged that too. I've liked how this team has responded to adversity, has responded to things like injury. So those are all positive things. But at the same time, the goal of this season is to win Conference USA and win the tournament, not necessarily the regular season, but win the Conference USA tournament in order to punch your ticket to the NCAA tournament, something that they were very close to, just like Sal said last year. All right, back to this game. UTEP defeats Kennesaw State 73-71. Let's get back to it. 915-505-6009. Long tangent, but it's a good subject, and you know, we've got a lot of other points to hit on here tonight before we wrap up the show. And we do want to get to our awards here later on as well. So big shout out to our hot hand of the game brought to you by Wind Supply El Paso. Brian's next up with us. Brian, good evening, man. What's going on?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Brian, we're doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's a great UTEP win, man. You know, at first, I was getting really upset with Goldie for the decision to keep Baylor Hedman while we had KJ Thomas on standby. But after you put in KJ Thomas and used Elijah Jones a lot more, the game got so much better. The Dawn was rocking. I haven't been to a game since the Sam Houston game, but it was rocking more than that, if you ask me. Really enjoyable game for the most part, and really good stuff for the Miners. It's a great way to rebound from that dud that happened on Thursday.
It was. Where do they go from here, Brian? How many do you have them winning of this road stretch?
It's kind of tricky to say. I say like they go around 500 maybe on the road, and then we close out strong to go to the CUSA tournament. Now, I'm kind of not a fan of the NCAA tournament or bust because of how tough CUSA is this year. When you got teams like Middle Tennessee, Jacksonville State, and even MSU when they're not fraudulent, but still, it's going to be a really tough league when the tournament comes around in March. And like you said, it's really good preparation for Mountain West in 2026.
Well, good stuff, Brian. I appreciate you, man. Thanks for weighing in on the program. 915-505-6009 as we continue here on the program. And we got a line ringing in here on the show as we continue. UTEP defeats Kennesaw State 73-71. Let's talk about some of the stars in this game. I tweeted out that Elijah Jones was plus 12. He ended up being plus 15 tonight when the stats were made official. plus 15 in terms of his plus minus, 12 points, 2 blocks for Elijah Jones off the bench. What an absolute spark. Just loved his performance here tonight. Kevin Kalu with his season best too, and his 6 for 7. I mean, that's the number that you like right there. The efficiency for Kevin Kalu, finishing everything at the rim and none of these like mid-range shots or anything like that. And he actually, you know, he made a couple free throws that were really clutch for the Miners down the stretch. And Devin Barnes, I know it was tough for him, but he got those 10 points. He got, you know, he managed to get to that mark. And even if Bynum only had 8, you know, he made his presence felt as well. So this was a pretty gutsy win by this squad that really needed it tonight. It was a must win. Jacob is next up with us, 915-505-6009. What's up, Jacob?
Hey, so today I felt like they should have won by more. It was kind of too much of a close game, I felt. But we'll take the win, this, like, because of the Jacksonville State loss and all that. Those were some bad losses, but I'll take today's win. And I hope they keep fighting like they did today.
Good stuff, Jacob. You're always a good analyst when it comes to UTEP hoops. You know your stuff. It's always great to hear from you, man. Where did they go from after this? Do you have them winning on the road next week against Middle Tennessee and Western Kentucky? And then what about the New Mexico State game?
You know, I feel like they've been pretty good on the road. So I hope they can come out with some wins on that stretch. So, yeah, hopefully they do.
All right, Jacob, we got you down. Good stuff, man. Really appreciate you here on the phone call as we continue. Good stuff there by Jacob Sell. That's two in a row by Jacob. He's called us before, and now he's calling us back. Good stuff by him.
Yeah, he's got to keep it going, man. If UTEP keeps winning, Jacob has to keep calling. And if UTEP keeps playing good defense, he definitely has to call, so he's going to call a lot.
I like it. Good stuff, man. Hey, people like this stat. I'll say it here on the program, and you guys can give me any thoughts on this one. Layups tonight, UTEP was 10 for 23.
Man, that's something you definitely got to tune up, especially when you're one of the more athletic teams. And Your defense is causing all these turnovers. You gotta respect yourself, man. Just get the points on the other end after the turnover. You gotta be better.
I know the Owls had 38 points in the paint, but UTEP held them 14 of 21 on layups. So UTEP did a good job defending at the rim here tonight. I like their toughness defensively when we talked about that. And then, you know, the free throw margin, I thought it was pretty close. Like, both teams shot right around 20 free throws in this game. Kennesaw State with 18 when it was all said and done, UTEP at 23. So they did have the rebound advantage, but not by a lot. It was a horribly officiated game, but at least it went both ways. It wasn't just one-sided, so at least you could say that on this one. A couple other things I want to talk about. You know, a lot of people will look at the Baylor Hebb minutes and feel different ways about it, right? There's going to be people who think that, man, his energy, the two steals and everything like that was real positive. There are other people who are going to say, you know, 13 minutes is way too much for Baylor Hebb, and he was, you know, only 4 points in this game. I like the final play. I mean, maybe, you know, you think about whatever you want for Baylor Hebb. You think about him any way you want, whether it's positive or negative. But that final play to get that steal, the possession before the Owls' final possession, and it allowed UTEP to go up, you know, by 2 points when it was all said and done, 73-71. I thought that was pretty clutch. So good stuff there in the closing minutes. I didn't love the fact that he was subbed in 4:40 left in the game, and then he attempted a 3-pointer as soon as he got subbed in at the 3:50 mark, but I loved that steal when it was all said and done. So I thought he made up for it right there. I also didn't like the David Terrell missed layup with 3 minutes left. I thought that they should have taken more time off the clock at that point, yet they made up for it defensively. Like, every time they had a lapse offensively, Sal, defensively they just step up in these late moments and they just prove you wrong. So credit to UTEP. Like, they had some frustrating moments down the stretch. There were points where the Owls could have snatched it from them. They could have closed this one out. And, you know, even on that final shot, they had a good look on the 3. They could have went out and won when it was all said and done, 74-73, because UTEP was only up by 2 still. Like, the closeout defense by this team.
Yeah, and it's nice because it worked out. But something that is a little bit concerning is that defense is their bread and butter. But when it comes to Liberty and when it comes to Kennesaw State, they win the game by the opposition not making their shot. There's going to come a time where no matter how good defense you play or don't play, that shot is going to go in. But how can you give yourself the best chance to win? They did what they needed to do, ultimately, to win the game there. And as far as Terrell's layup that you had mentioned, there was another layup that he had missed in the final couple of segments. But I like the aggression, though. We asked these guys to step up, and we called out names and stuff, and Terrell was one of them. He showed the aggression on offense, in my opinion. Shots didn't go in, but he was there for the moment and wasn't afraid to take it. So you'll live with that, especially when the defense that he's playing is contagious and everybody else is feeding off of it, especially without Camper.
Well put. I like it. And Terrell, man, defensively just absolutely killed
Menace,
it.
Menace, yeah.
Yeah. Andrew, let's go to Twitter next. A lot of tweets to get to here on the program as we continue here on Minor Talk presented by Jack in the Box. 915-505-6009. Andrew at UTEP Men's Basketball 15-5 West Texas. Coach Golding needs to start giving KJ Thomas some more minutes. Hashtag Minor Talk. Pinky, why did the referee pull the UTEP assistant coach on the shirt on the timeout? Not good. I don't know what he was talking about there. This is Pick My Axe 915. UTEP is now back in a three-way tie after the Middle Tennessee loss tonight. Ugly win tonight, but a win is a win. I do worry about this team without Camper. Hashtag Minor Talk. I'll just, you know, just to talk about it quickly here. Corey Camper Jr., Alberto, Joe Golding talked about it post-game. Give us your thoughts on what he had to say.
Joe Golding said that they're going to reevaluate it here soon. I believe like within a week they're going to reevaluate him. But, yeah, he's going to miss, I believe, at least the next three games. That, to me, makes the most sense. So
what are you basing that off of?
I mean, you're going to get him going in the middle of a three-game road streak? You think
that's a good point. That's a really good point. Like, yeah, I mean, I don't know if they manage him through this three-game road stretch and they try to ease him back in when they're back home against Florida International. That would be like more of a speculation right there. But at least for right now, what the coaching staff is telling us is a reevaluation on that left ankle. He was in a boot. He was in street clothes. And he was obviously bummed that he couldn't play in tonight's game. But you feel for Corey Camper Jr., who's been as durable as it gets. He's as healthy as it gets. And now we hear that he'll be reevaluated in a week. That tells me that Middle Tennessee and Western Kentucky is almost, a no-go. Like, that's probably no, I'd probably say a 99% right there. NMSU, I don't know. I don't know. I guess we'll reevaluate next week.
Yeah.
And then we'll reassess next week and talk to the coaching staff to see what it says. But Sal, what do you think about that statement right there by Pick My Axe 915? I do worry about this team without Camper.
I don't know. I mean, they responded well tonight, but even with Camper, they're going to be in close, tough games. I mean, we saw what happened last game, right? Especially against Liberty, too. They did get the win there, but they were able to escape that arena with the win. So they're going to be in close games with him. They're going to be in close games without him. You obviously feel better about your chances with him there. But tonight, a close one that they were able to squeak out. So it's next man up, man. That's why you recruit these guys. You got to get them in the best position possible. And this is a team that's already guard heavy, so that gives you a little bit more hope because there's a lot more guys who can, I don't want to say fill his shoes, but who can be in his position on the court. So I mean, it's hard to say, man. We'll see. We'll know more about it after the Middle Tennessee game for sure.
This is Enrique Ortiz. It's popping here at the Don Haskins parking garage. You can hear everyone chanting, cheering, and having a great time celebrating the Miners. The Don was loud. It reminded me of the old days. Poncho chimed in. Toughest game by the UTEP men's basketball team. The team showed a lot of character. Wondering why Hamilton didn't play the second half. Hoping they can show up like this for the rest of the season. Manny David. Good home split for UTEP men's basketball. A sweep would have been definitely better. But hey, look who's tied for first. Hashtag five more to go. By the way, I'm all in with this team. Whether they make the NCAA tournament or not, still hoping they go on a hot winning streak come March. Good stuff, Manny. Appreciate that. Text until I die at UTEP Milkman. Way to dig down and get the win tonight, Miners. UTEP moves into a tie for first and CUSA picks up, baby. Hashtag Minor Talk. Hashtag more than a one bid league. Milkman will stand on that. And I appreciate him for standing on his opinion. Good stuff, Milkman. Thank you. Brian, a full amount of emotions hit me during this game. Elijah Jones' impact is what really helped the Miners out late to get the close win. Got to keep it up and prove the doubters wrong. Hashtag Miner Talk. David Castro, good win in UTEP men's basketball. The only negative I have are the easy buckets and rebounding. I also worry about body language throughout the game, the energy. Elijah Jones is the only guy I see consistently keeping his head up even after mistakes. You know, I loved the Joe Golding answer about the mistakes and, like, David Terrell. Like, Joe Golding was talking about how it's like Terrell cares so much that sometimes he has, like, hands in his head, in his face, or, you know, he gets mad and frustrated off a play. And it's because he cares so much and he, like, wants every play. I don't think it's bad body language by him, because I truly believe he's engaged every time. It's just kind of who he is. He wears his emotions on his sleeve, and I like it. I actually like the fact that he plays with so much passion like that. Trey Pollitt. Great hard-fought win against a good team. Jones stepped up big tonight. Conference USA is tough this year. I agree. At Sad UTEP Fan, I'm sorry. This doesn't make me feel any better about this team's chances of winning the tournament. I did like the fight, but come on. This is a home game. Another slow start and another double-digit rebounding margin. Sorry, but I'm still very skeptical. And that's fair, Sad UTEP Fan. It's fair to feel that way. Manny David, good. I already read this one. This is Daniel Gonzalez. I thought the loss of Corey Camper would be too much for this team, but they proved me wrong, and I give them credit. I still think this loss will be huge down the road, and I can only hope that they make a run in March when he comes back. Tristan Pence, very hard-fought win for the Miners. I was very impressed by Kennesaw's talent. Elijah Jones was the difference maker tonight. Several players came off the bench for UTEP and made big plays. That made up for the absence of Camper. Let's hope Corey makes it back soon. This is Chris Banks. Can we get Rutang to call in and tell us what Coach Golding said to him after the game? He was very animated. I didn't see that. I don't know what you're talking about there. But good stuff there, Chris. I appreciate you. 915-505-6009. That's how we continue here on the program. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. Like Rick Villavala, who just chimed in and said, awesome win. This is Pick My Axe 915. Better than I thought. We've been dominating Conference USA for a while in attendance, it seems. And that's what he was saying. And then this is Snappy saying, not bad at all to the home attendance of 5,351 when it was all said and done. So good comments right there. This was Gerald Hitter. Told you the other game. Elijah Jones needs to be in the game. Energy, baby. Everybody likes his energy, Sal. That's the big thing for Elijah Jones right now.
You know what's funny? Is obviously I'm excited because I have him on my team. Two guys that I have on my team went off, and the other one didn't because he wasn't in the game. So I like my chances there. However, I mean, it's interesting, right? Because we love the energy, we love the fierceness, and I'm on that side too. You know what I mean? You're either with it or you're not. However, we've seen, you know, BS texts get called just because guys are you know, I don't want to say taunting, but they're hype after a dunk. They make a play.
Animated.
They're animated. There we go. And the refs tee them up. So who's to say that if the ref did, you know, call that tech, we'd have people calling in or tweeting, Jones needs to keep his cool. This is ridiculous. So, I mean, these are Conference USA refs, man. They're at home. That's probably why they didn't call it. But do got to be careful there, especially with these guys. But however, all that to say, bring it, man. You got to play this game with emotion. People have been wanting more energy, more emotion, and it was right there.
Yeah, keep that same energy.
Just
keep
do
that
it, man.
Same
yeah.
Energy, for sure. 915-505-6009 as we wind down the show here on the program. Let's get to some of our final thoughts here on the show, guys. Let's talk a little bit. Let's go around the room just talking and outlining these next three road games. So, Alberto, I'll start with you. Three in a row. It's Western Kentucky first next Thursday, January 30th. At Middle Tennessee on Saturday, and then at New Mexico State. How do you see these three road games as the Miners right now, 15-5, 5-2 in CUSA?
This is a litmus test here for the UTEP Miners. And honestly, I hate to be this guy, but I do see them dropping that first one against the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. They don't have Corey Camper Jr. It's the first game of a road stretch. It's going to be a difficult game, but I do expect them to win out those next two, right, against Middle Tennessee. And you got to take it to NMSU. Your fan base is almost demanding it of you. So that's what I'm expecting from this team.
Man, that's a tough task right there to live up to right there. Sal, we'll go to you. Three games on the road, starts off at Western. Thoughts on just these three games?
You know what? I'll say this before I even begin. With New Mexico State, I had it as a split. So by default, I got to say they're going to get that one. So even though that's last, I do think that they get past Western, but eventually lose to Middle Tennessee. So a 2-1 stretch.
Okay, a 2-1 stretch. Man, that's a pretty good stretch right there for the team.
It would
team.
Be great, yeah.
I'm just going to say this, and this might be, you know, unpopular to some, and some might roll their eyes, especially the skeptics. I think winning one of the three is a positive. I really do. I think this is a tough league, tough to win on the road, tough also to do this without Corey Camper Jr. I think this upcoming road stretch is going to be tough, man. I could see them dropping these two and maybe winning an emotional game against New Mexico State. So I'd probably say – and that's me with lower expectations, thinking that no Camper for Western Kentucky and Middle Tennessee. And, you know, there are others who could argue, well, if they made it today and they beat Kennesaw State today without Camper, could they do it on the road? Maybe they can. Let's see them prove me wrong. It's going to be a tough two games here, and I just don't see them winning either of them. Maybe I'm wrong here, but I just think it's going to be a tough two-game stretch. These road games are tough, and I think they can come home and beat New Mexico State in an emotional game in Las Cruces Saturday, February 8th. We'll see what happens. Either way, Miners are 15-5. They're in good shape. Even if they lose these three games, they'd be 15-8, 5-5 in CUSA. It wouldn't be the end of the world. That's what I'm trying to say. Let's go back to the phone lines right now. 915-505-6009. Back to the phones we go. And then a couple messages that we also need to get back to as well. Rick from the West Side is with us right now. Rick, good evening, man. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. How y'all doing tonight?
Doing great, Rick. How are you?
My blood pressure came down finally from that game, but I was just sitting there and I was just so upset. And I'm sure a lot of people were who've called in and chimed in about the rebounding. Rebounding is just, I don't know if it's ever going to get better, but it has to get better. It has to be emphasized. You can't be a poor free throw shooting team and a bad rebounding team to expect to get far in this conference. I don't know if I missed it. But why didn't Hamilton play in the second half? I don't know why. I thought he brought energy, a defensive presence, and I thought he was the only one really crashing the boards in that first half, but that's just my observation. But I was like, where's Hamilton in the second half? Because he didn't play. I don't even think he played him in the second half.
So was this by strategy, Rick? Now I'm just looking at this more like in the patterns, because last game, Elijah Jones had a good first half. He didn't play any of the second. And then this game, Derek Hamilton has the good first half, and he doesn't play any of the second half. So was this more by design? Was this a game plan strategy that they went to throughout the week? I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? But overall, great win. It's a gritty win. And just a quick prediction, I think the next three road games are going to be tough, but I can see them going 2-1. That's being optimistic. But
nice. Okay. Good stuff,
2-1
Rick.
2-1 will be great, though. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Good stuff, Rick. Appreciate you, man. Thanks for weighing in. Daniel Gonzalez, just because a conference is competitive within itself doesn't mean it's a great league. Great way. I mean, really good point right there, Daniel. I like that a lot. Also, Adam Ortega chimes in. One of my huge worries is scoring droughts and our half-court offense. When they get in their half-court offense sometimes, they just kind of rely on pinging it around and finding the open man. But then when they actually have a play that they run, then they're actually, you know, not too bad. So they're improving on half-court offense immensely than they were like 2 years ago. Like, that improvement is there. So is it great? Not necessarily, but is it fair? Is it decent? Is it good? I would say so. Just at this point. We talked about the three-game stretch. We talked about this game at length. guys, I think we're starting to wind this one down, and it's been a good show here on the program tonight. I appreciate all our listeners chiming in. We appreciate everybody who subscribes to us on our podcast channel and doesn't listen to us live but listens to us after the fact, or listens to us live and after the fact. So we appreciate them in a big way. If you haven't checked out Minor Talk On Demand, we're available wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks to Sal Montes, our co-host here on Minor Talk. He's the one who posts all the podcasts and makes it so where you can listen to it almost as soon as Minor Talk is over. Like, the podcast is up pretty quickly, and that's a big shout out to Sal Montes. He makes that happen every time. Big shout out to Jack in the Box. It's the perfect spot before and after every game. Jack in the Box, they've got 15 locations in El Paso and Las Cruces. They've got breakfast, lunch, dinner. They're open 24/7, 365, and I love Jack in the Box here as we continue. Also, want to give a big shout out to the player of the game tonight, guys. Don't take him for granted. It's Otis Frazier III. 8 steals tonight. That ties a program record, which, by the way, he tied last year, and Tim Hardaway initially set back when he was playing here for the Miners, but 8 steals tonight, single game record. That ties it for the Miners. He almost broke it tonight, which would have been really cool. 38 minutes of action, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 6 for 14 from the field, and 17 points for Otis Frazier III, Sal. This guy, we do not take him for granted.
No, he does everything right. He plays defense at a high level. He's, you know, he's very respectable in physical style of play, and he gets buckets at the same time. He passes, he gets steals, can get rebounds as well. He's a do-it-all, so don't take him for granted, man. He's in that don't-take-for-granted category. By the way, real quick, before we move on, we got to come up with a don't-take-for-granted all-time team.
But yes.
Not all-time. Let's say last 10 years or so. Let's say since Minor Talk was reborn, what is the top 10 don't take for granted team?
Okay, so number one is Bryson Williams. Don't take Bryson Williams for granted, because that's where it kind of all started. And then it's got to go right into Sule Boom,
because that
final year of Boom, I felt, even that second year of Boom, because the second year of Boom, he was the leading scorer, not Williams. Everybody was king on Bryson, but that was the big don't take Sule Boom for granted, the final year, a.k.a. the first year of Joe Golding. After that, you know, I'm not going to say, like, Tay is a great player. He's not in that category. Otis Frazier III is in
that
category.
He's in there for
sure. Yes, he's in that category for me. Don't take Otis Frazier III for granted, because when do you get an Otis Frazier III? A guy who's going to be relentless on defense every single night. He doesn't just pick and choose. It's every single night this guy is relentless on defense. That's what makes him a one of one. And I feel like the don't take this guy for granted makes you kind of a one of one. Bryson Williams had the great offensive low post presence that he could show out there, and then he could hit the three-pointer every so now and then. Sule Boom was just the absolute bucket getter. He could just, buckets were for sale, and he was selling and buying all the time. But you know, Sule Boom was the man when it came to all that kind of stuff. That's why you couldn't take a guy for hit like him for granted. And then Otis Frazier III, mainstay on defense. Best, when's the last, like, or I can't remember the last best defender like this, like where you could truly say, like, this guy is the best defensive player on this team, bar none. But then also, like, flip it around and say, when's the last time you've seen a guy play defense like this? I'll say this, though. Corey Camper Jr. is giving him a really good run for his money. Same with David Terrell Jr. From his defense tonight. They've got three really good defensive players. That just tells you and speaks to the defensive I guess, identity the Golding teams have.
Yeah, and that's the one constant throughout it all, is that defense is going to be played at a high level. I'll throw one name out there, and then we can move on. People may not like it, but Keontae Kennedy.
Ooh.
Okay. We can move on now.
All right, yeah.
That's interesting enough.
An interesting thought there. I like it, Sal. So who knows on the Corey Camper Jr. timeline? I mean, I heard before the game started, could be like a 2-3 week turnaround. You know, after the game, we heard from head coach Joe Golding that it's a week and then they'll be reevaluating things. Hot hand of the game. This is brought to you by Wind Supply El Paso. Big shout out to Wind Supply El Paso. They are your trusted system supplier for all your HVAC needs. Check out their Find a Dealer tab online at windsupplyelpaso.com, and you can see some of the different champion dealers, the Master Cool dealers. That is windsupplyelpaso.com. hot hand of the game has to go to Elijah Jones. 12 points plus 15 in efficiency. Just absolutely amazing night from him. Two blocks, two rebounds in this one. And, man, he was so active. He was vocal. And Alberto, this guy, I mean, he's fun to watch. But when you know the backstory, when you know that he was in the doghouse at points before the season, during the season, and, you know, he's had DNPs on his log. Like, he's, you know, even in Conference USA games or games that he did not appear in, and even going back to last year, he did not close out the season playing games for this basketball team. So to see him play the way that he does with so much passion, with so much fire, I think that's a really cool thing, man. I'm an Elijah Jones fan for sure.
Most definitely. Elijah Jones finishes with 12 today, and he gets to play that second half, not unlike last game. So, yeah, Elijah Jones, like we said earlier, also doesn't hang his head. He's not there with the negative body language. He's there making sure guys can see that he's going to try his absolute hardest the whole way through it, and you got to love that. I hope that he can build off of this, and maybe next time Derek Hamilton can also get a little something. But, yeah, I love the way when the team needs him, Elijah Jones, he's not saying, hey, no, you didn't play me. No, he's getting in there, and he's giving that team action. 12 points to you. I loved Elijah Jones.
Okay, Sal, like pinch me if I forgot this one, but I really did forget this one. He's a sophomore.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how awesome is that? However, we know what day and age this is, and I mean, he did return. Who's to say that he comes back next year or doesn't? We don't know. This is the way college basketball is now. But him coming back says that, to me at least, says that he believes in himself under Golden. He believes in himself in general, believes in the team, and he's not the only one who came back as well. So he's on a mission along with everybody else who returned, everybody else who joined, and that's to make a big run in the conference tournament. So that's what you want. We asked somebody to step up, and he threw his name in the ring, jumped in there.
Yeah, real impressive for Elijah Jones. So good stuff by him. Hey guys, I think that's how we're gonna wrap this one up here on the program. It's been a good one here on Minor Talk. Special thanks to Inspo Lens for broadcasting our entire show on Twitter and X Live and on YouTube Live as well. Special thanks to everybody who chimed in as well on the program, and UTEP getting a 73-71 win against Kennesaw State. We'll be back in action next week. It's Western Kentucky and the Miners. That's Thursday, January 30th, and we'll have it for you right here on 600 ESPN El Paso. But for Alberto Retta, for Sal Montes, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We are signing off tonight and saying so long, and thanks for listening to Minor Talk here on 600 ESPN El Paso.